All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to begin reading there in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. You know, I've often thought if I could have chosen to have one talent, or maybe two, it would have been to be able to sing and play an instrument. And I can't do either one. As a matter of fact, when we went down to Brother Moore's funeral, Brother Obed Kirkpatrick, who is a tremendous singer and song leader, rode with us. And I was whistling. And he said, not only can you not sing, you can't even whistle in tune. He said, I've never heard anybody couldn't whistle in tune. And so, but I whistle anyway. But anyway, I've always wanted to be, I love music. I love to listen to it. I just can't do anything about it myself. But I do appreciate those that do have the talent and will use it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says there in relation to our ministry, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor having the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want to talk to you this morning using not all the passage, but focusing primarily on verse 7, where Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I want to talk to you about the vessels of the ministry. The vessels of the ministry. I want you to look with me, if you will, over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and in Hebrews 9, verse 16. The Bible says there, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Now notice, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Now, we're not going to take time to turn there, but if you go back and read Exodus chapter 29, there were many vessels that were associated with the priestly ministry. Here, the Bible says that he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So the ministry of the priesthood, there were vessels that were involved in that. And they were sprinkled with blood. They were cleansed with blood. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so today, I want us to look at the vessels that God is using today in the dispensation of the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 16,
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, it is clear in the Bible that when a person is saved today in the dispensation of the grace of God, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And as you think about those vessels back there in the Old Testament, for example, those vessels of the ministry, not all the vessels had the same function. So it is today with vessels in the body of Christ. We are the vessels of God. There are some that preach. There are some that teach. There are some that labor. There are some that simply rake leaves. Sorry, Doug. Just kidding. I had to get it back at that one. There are vessels, folks. There are vessels of the ministry that God is using today, and they are the members of the church, which is His body. And we are spoken of as vessels in that we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Now, there are certain things about these vessels that I want us to consider. Look, if you will, first of all, in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. When the Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, down in verse 13, the Lord tells Ananias, he says there in verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, notice, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel for a specific purpose. That specific purpose was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul says in several places that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. As a result of Paul's ministry, there were people saved apart from Israel, not because they were affiliated with Israel, not to become part of Israel, but to become part of the church, which is his body. In other words, God added to that body, as people believed, vessels for the ministry. Just like he had vessels back there to administer the law and the sacrificial program, today God has vessels to administer the grace program in which we live. Paul was a chosen vessel. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, there's a verse of scripture over there in relation to the members of the body of Christ also being chosen. Now, people get all strung out sometimes about how that they are chosen. In other words, there are those who believe that God predestinates certain people to be saved, certain people to go to hell, and He chooses certain people to the exclusion of the others. Well, I want you to notice what He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, if you stop right there, it would sound like He chose them to salvation, but chose not to save other people. But notice what He says. He hath chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see who God has chosen? God has chosen those that believe. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, where we started out. Again, a verse sometimes people have problems with. In verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So people say, well, see, God blinded some people, or He let Satan blind some people so that they cannot be saved. That's not what the verse says. It said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of who? Of them which believe not. You see, folks, belief is the issue. God has chosen to save people through belief of the truth. God has not chosen to save people today on the basis of the law. He's not chosen to save people today on the basis of a performance system. He is saving people today on the basis of His grace. And it is by grace alone that a person is saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is there so much confusion today about salvation? Listen, you can go downtown tomorrow and probably stop 50 people on the street and ask 50 people how to be saved and get probably 50 different answers. Maybe 40. At least 25. At least half of them would tell you something different. You see, folks, and that's in the Bible Belt. Now you go up somewhere else, away from here, and it might be all even worse. But the point is this. The reason there's confusion about salvation is because people have failed to heed the admonition of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God saved the apostle Paul. He said he is a chosen vessel, and through Paul and his preaching and the ministry of the gospel of the grace of God, God has saved other vessels and has placed them into the body of Christ. So the vessels were chosen vessels. We weren't all chosen for individual ministries as such like Paul was, but we were all chosen to be saved on the basis of believing the gospel. God has chosen to save every person that will believe. Say, well, how can I be saved? Believe the truth. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, well, how do I do that? You make a conscious decision, just like you made a conscious decision to get here this morning. If you want to be saved, right this moment, you could be transformed from death unto life by simply accepting the fact that Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and trusting in that for your salvation plus nothing. So that's too simple. That's the beauty of it. The simplicity of the gospel. It's just that easy. It's hard for some people because their minds have been blinded. As the Bible says right here, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You want to be saved? Believe the truth of the gospel. Believe that Christ died for you, was buried and rose again the third day, and accept Him as your Savior. And you'll be saved. So the vessels are chosen. Then the vessels are cleansed. I want you to go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, look there in verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape out of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. He's talking there about the ministry of the nation Israel. Go back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, notice they're to bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Both passages indicate a washing, a cleansing, if you will, a clean vessel. Well, the priesthood was always associated with a cleansing, a washing, if you will. But I want you to notice us as members of the body. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 26 or verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, notice back in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So just as the vessels there associated with the priesthood were clean vessels, God has cleaned us, if you will. God has fitted us. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Back in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So there is that edification process. There is the washing of regeneration. There is being cleansed. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2 said, we were made nigh by the blood of Christ. So how are we cleansed today? Well, there is the spiritual cleansing. We are washed in the blood. Love that song that we sang, washed in the blood. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there is also a practical cleansing that God desires for all the members of the body of Christ. In other words, as far as God is concerned, we're clean. We're righteous. We've been made meet to inherit the kingdom. You see, our flesh is, the Bible says, Paul calls it filthy. He talks about the filthiness of the flesh. He says it's vile. He says he's going to change our vile body. Our flesh could never inherit heaven. We could never get into heaven in our body. That's why Paul said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the flesh is defiled. And if you don't believe it's defiled, just wait a little while. Wait till you get a little older. And you'll realize just how defiled it is. Somebody wrote on Facebook this week, I don't want to get old. Sorry about that. You're going to. I wrote back and said, considering the alternative, I think getting old is a wonderful thing. As he said, every day above ground is a good day. But the body, listen folks, our flesh is filthy, it's defiled. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So what did God do? God chose us unto salvation through belief of the truth, and he saved us, and he cleansed us by his blood, by the washing of water by the word, and redeemed us and made us members of his body. So that our standing before him is perfect, acceptable in Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I know that a lot of times people like to just focus on one side of the issue. We're saved by grace. We're in the body of Christ. We're redeemed by the blood. We're in Christ, sealed in the day of redemption. Doesn't really matter how we live. Well, the Bible doesn't support that position. The Bible says right here, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. That's not the spiritual cleansing. That's something we do. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, there's two things there. He said cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That would have to do with things that we do in the flesh that the Bible would consider sin, our iniquity, our filthiness, lust, concupiscence, there's a whole list of them over there in Ephesians chapter 4. Anger, all those things. There are things that we need to put off. Paul said, put off the old man with his deeds and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there is a self-evaluation that needs to take place, and we need to live in accordance with the Word of God and walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called. But he also says there, it's interesting, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, how are you going to clean your spirit? I mean, come on, you can wash your body, you can deodorize it, you can powder it, perfume it, and everything else. But that's not what he's talking about. But there's works of the flesh. But he says you need to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You know what your spirit is? It has to do with, primarily in the Bible, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, has to do with your mind. He said, we know the things of man by the spirit of man that dwells in us. We know the things of God by the spirit of God that dwells in us. Well then, what would filthiness of the spirit be? It would be bad doctrine. It'd be filthy teachings. There's some things you need to keep out of here. People need to get their mind straight. You know, we always talk about people having a dirty mind when they think about lascivious type things, lust and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'll tell you something. People have dirty minds as a result of being involved in religion that teaches them that there's something they can do in their flesh to be justified. That's dirty thinking. As somebody phrased the phrase stinking thinking, well, that's what that is. For a person to think that somehow you can do enough to be saved on your own, when God sent His only begotten Son and made Him to be sin for us, to die for our sins and redeem us from all unrighteousness, it's stinking thinking to think that God would accept some of your work in order to assist in that. He won't do it. The vessels need to be cleansed. The vessels are sanctified. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2. Hey Ben, would you go back there and get me a bottle of water out of the refrigerator? My voice is shutting down on me, I'm afraid. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, folks, that's one I'd highlight. Underline it. Make marks by it. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. But notice the next part. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows we're His, but He has a desire for us, and that is our sanctification. Look over 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 3. For this is the will of God. Thank you, babe. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So there is that practical cleansing. There's that spiritual cleansing. There's that spiritual sanctification where we're set apart. We're saints of the Most High God. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. But there's that practical sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Notice now. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Where are all those things? They're in Christ. Because of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Why? Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, folks, man is of such nature that if we had to do so much as wiggle our little finger to be saved, we'd go out through eternity bragging about how we wiggled our little finger. The reason that God has chosen to save those that believe on the basis of the gospel is that he that glorieth is to glory in the Lord. We have nothing to glory in as far as our salvation is concerned other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing about these vessels. Go back, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4. In verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to the bondman. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went for him, and shut the door and upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What a wonderful illustration. Here's a woman who had a need. But you know what? She needed a vessel. And you know what those vessels had to be? They had to be empty. You know what, folks? I've heard people talk about going to the altar and praying through. You know, Brother Brian was telling about when he was, Brian Sykes was telling about when, before he got saved, he was at a church meeting one time, and there was one of them shouting churches, and they got him down front there and said there was people gathered around him, and one was praying, fill him, Lord, and another was praying, empty him, Lord. And he said he didn't know which to pray for. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. But you know what? Paul talks about putting off that old man, as I mentioned a moment ago. There's some things in our life, folks, that we need to empty ourselves of. Cleansing ourselves, cleansing the flesh, he said, the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Your mind. There's some things that you need to empty out and fill it in with something else. I remember how that Brother Moore used to use the illustration of a file cabinet. Maybe a computer would be more apropos today. But you know, they have a hard drive. And the saying among computer people is, garbage in, garbage out. Well, you know what? That's the problem today in religion. There's a lot of garbage going in. And you talk to people, a lot of garbage coming out. What's the situation? You see, when we get saved, we have all kind of thoughts and precepts and ideas. And we function on the basis of what we've been taught, what we've learned. And yet when a person gets saved, it's hard to unlearn a lot of stuff. And so you take that analogy of a file cabinet and you fill it up, or you take that hard drive and you're putting information on there, and you're putting information. And when you need it, for example, I've got 400 and something names and addresses on a database at home. And over the years, as I've gotten people's names and numbers, I'll add their name and address and their telephone numbers, and I'll go out there and I'll put a little code beside them so I'll know whether they're church people or grace believers or on the tape ministry. And all that data's out there. You accumulate data. But then when you get saved, there's some stuff you need to throw out. You need to quit thinking on the basis of the old man. There needs to be an emptying. Why? So there can be a filling. I'm not talking about being filled with the Spirit in the sense of speaking in tongues, that kind of thing. But the Bible says be filled with the Spirit. A continual filling, if you will. Why? Because we are vessels. We're vessels that were prepared by God to be used in the present dispensation to carry out the ministry of proclaiming the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, we read that verse over there in Corinthians a moment ago about that no flesh should glory in His presence. You ever stop and wonder, why is it that God chose to do things like He's doing them today? I mean, you know, I think that people's minds are inquisitive. They think about those things. I do. And sometimes I think, well, you know, if I were doing this, I probably wouldn't do it that way. But then I always think about Romans chapter, who hath known the mind of the Lord? You see, there is a reason why God has chosen to save people in the manner in which He saves them today. Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. Man, I tell you what, every preacher, including myself, needs to keep that in the forefront of their mind. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You think you're not important? You think what God is doing in you is not important? He just said there in verse 6, God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our ministry, folks, is to make known what we know, to testify to people of the glorious gospel of the grace of God, so that they might hear and see and understand and be saved. And verse 7 summarizes it all. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, folks, when I first started preaching, I was 33 years old. I mean, pastoring. 30 years ago. And it was real important to me to see results. I wanted people to get saved as a result of my preaching. You know what all that is? That's flesh. Over the years, I came to realize that it matters not who the preacher is. What matters is the truth goes forward. The earthen vessel. There, you see, we're just an earthen vessel. That the power may be of God. It's God that worketh in us. And we are to yield ourselves as servants to Him. We are bought with a price, He says. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are the vessels that God wants to use today to carry out this ministry of making light, bringing light to the world through the preaching of the truth of the gospel. Wow, look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, and we'll close here. Ephesians 2, in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, I can just imagine a scenario one day where there in heaven, in the eternal kingdom, new heaven and new earth, Noah's over there or some Old Testament saint's over there, and he goes up to the Lord and he says, Lord, tell me about this grace. Tell me about what really grace is. About that time I walked by and he said, that's grace right there. That's grace. That in ages to come, we might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace. Listen, folks, we'll be there only because of the exceeding riches of His grace. Amen. Not because of anything we've done. Not because we deserve it. Not because we worked for it or earned it. But because of His grace. A testimony. And folks, think about it. We have a part in preaching this glorious gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. What are you doing with that treasure? Is it a hidden treasure? Is it a secret treasure? Or is it a treasure that's made known so that other people might see and hear and believe and be saved? The vessels of the ministry. They're no longer silver and gold and wood and stone. They're bodies of flesh. And God is in us, desiring that we make Him known to the world around us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Would you stand me for prayer? I had two other points to cover. I won't do that because our time is about up. But you know, let me just mention to you as we close. Maybe read this when you get home. In Judges chapter 7, God Almighty is dealing with Gideon there. And Gideon's got a bunch of vessels. And he got candles in them. And you know the only way the people could see the light? He told them to break the vessel.
Sometimes, folks, we just have to be broken. Then also, we're told that these vessels, they're vessels prepared unto glory. One day we're going to put off this earthly vessel, and we're going to get a new vessel, and we're going to live eternally with Him. If you don't know today that you're saved, why don't you right now, as we close in prayer, just in your heart and mind, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Accept the fact that He died for your sins. Rest in that today. He'll save you right there. You don't have to walk down the aisle. We don't have to give an invitation. Right where you're standing, you can accept Him as your Savior right now if you've never done so. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for the glorious truth of the death, burial, and resurrection. This glorious gospel that we preach. We thank You, Lord, for this privilege that we've had today to study Your Word together. Help us that we would take the things to heart that we've heard and learned, and that we might go out from here determined to use this vessel for Your honor and Your glory, not to let it be defiled by false teaching, not to let it be defiled by the desires of our flesh. Lord, help us to use this vessel for Your sake and for Your honor and Your glory. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.